The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. I would like to invite you back on Sunday nights at 6, also Wednesday nights at 7. Wednesday nights at 7, I always have done, years gone by when I was a pastor, of course, in Tennessee, and of course now a pastor here in Texas, I've always done series on Wednesday nights. I've always been a series type of guy where I would do different Bible series on Wednesday nights. And of course, you can find those series also on the website to be able to visit and be able to get even some of the outlines. And I'm glad, Brother Jonathan announced over 18,000 people that listened to sermons this past month, the month of November, that is, on the website. And I'm glad for them. I'm excited for them. But I want to encourage you to come to the services and don't use the website on your part to say, I'll just stay home and listen to it. There's nothing like being in a church service to be able to understand the full gravity of the truth. And so you do your part. I'm glad we're able to help people overseas. We have a lot of people that listen to our website in the Philippines. We have a lot of people that listen to our website in China. We have a lot of people that listen to it in Korea and other places. And I'm glad about that. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all the, of course, the Americans that listen to it, and that's super too. But you be faithful. You be faithful in church and let God speak to your heart. I want to speak to you this morning on preparing your mind against Satan's attacks. Preparing your mind against Satan's attacks, because I do believe this. I believe that we ought to gird up our minds for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we ought to protect them. I believe we ought to watch guard and stand guard around them. The Bible says that out of the heart proceed the issues of life. The word issues means decisions. And so as you protect your mind, you'll make the right type of decisions. And here the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 again, where it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. It says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Many times in the Bible you'll see that Satan is announced, Satan is pronounced, Satan is declared as the enemy of God and the enemy of the child of God. Matter of fact, there's a warning in the Bible where it says the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is after those of us that are described as whom's this morning. He's after individuals. More than he's after your things, he's after you. And the Bible talks about the devil many times. Matter of fact, there's 22 names for the devil that's list there in the Bible that's entitled to him or given to him. Satan is mentioned 52 times in your Bible. It's a common word for that which is the devil. Satan, it means an opponent. It means an arch enemy. It means our adversary. The word devil is mentioned 35 times in your Bible. The word devil means slaughterer, means false accuser. It means that which is an intruder or that which is a traducer. It means a false person, somebody that is a parade of disgrace. You'll see the word prince and power of the air that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2. And of course, that's talking about the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 4, he's called the God of this world. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 14, he's called the power of death. In the book of John, you'll see in chapter 12 and verse 31, he's called the prince or the ruler of this world. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he's called the ruler of darkness. In the book of Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1, he's called the Leviathan. Leviathan, of course, is that which is the one that dwells in the sea. He's called Lucifer in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. He's the one that's the bearer of light, the shining one, the son of the morning, if you will. He's called the dragon in the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, the deceiver, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. He's called that which is Apollyon, and which is the book of Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, which means destroyer. He's called Beelzebub, that which is the prince of the devils, in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 24. He is that which is Belial, which is the vile and ruthless one, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. He's called the wicked one. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 38. The tempter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5. The accuser of the brethren. The book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. The angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The liar. John chapter 8 and verse 44. The murderer. John chapter 8 and verse 44. The enemy. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39. The roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. So the Bible gives many different descriptions or titles, if you will please, of that which is the devil. And many times I do believe that in our modern world, because of all the games that's out there, because of all the fantasy type of things that people are so much involved in, that they forget that there's a real, live, existing devil. And so what is it today that we need to be aware of when it comes to that one that's called Satan? What is it that we could do to prepare our mind against that one that is called Satan? You'll notice here, as I read just a moment ago in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness." Here you'll see that Paul admonishes those of us about how to guard on a continual basis against that which is a battle that's being forged against us as believers. You know, God makes sure that once you're saved, once you receive Jesus Christ, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. So once you're saved, once you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll never have to worry about going to a place that's called hell. But can I tell you that the devil wants to make sure that you're not successful in your services that you render unto Jesus Christ. He also wants to make sure that your relationship is crippled at best. He wants to make sure that he hinders you from doing the work of the Lord. Even Paul himself said when getting ready to enter into a city to help some other Christians, he said that he tried once and again, but then it was Satan, Paul said, that hindered him. And so there is that which is the hindering of the wicked one. There's that which is the hindering of the devil. And he does try to hinder us in our service for God. He does try to hinder us as we try to step out and do business for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he would try to blind our eyes. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how he tries to blind the eyes of that which is the unsaved. Sometimes he'll wage a battle inside of our heart. It was the Apostle Paul that said that there was a continual battle inside of his heart as there was a battle waged between the flesh and that which was the spirit, and one was contrary to the other. But it's good for us to be able to know these things. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever taken a pen. I'm talking not a writing pen, but a safety pen or a straight pen. And I don't know if anybody's ever done this to you or not. I do remember one of my brothers doing this to me when he caught me unaware. And I remember how he thought it was funny, how he took that straight pen and he launched it into my flesh. I remember that. I wasn't prepared for it. And can I tell you, because I wasn't prepared for it, I jumped rather sporadically. I mean, I jumped very fast because he stuck me with that pen and I was unaware that it was coming. But can I tell you, as I've traveled to different countries around the world, I've had to go to doctors and I've had to look on the charts to see, especially if I was going to be in a country for a lengthy amount of time where I'd have to get certain shots in order to be able to stay in that country and in the realm of safety. And so as a doctor would prepare to give me a shot, then I was prepared, I was able to brace myself, I was able to be functionally aware that the shot was coming, and then I didn't flinch. Then I didn't jump. Now, can I tell you this morning, all I want to do is to be able to help us to understand how there is the wicked darts of the devil. I want to help us to understand this morning how that one that is called the devil is not your friend this morning, but rather he is your enemy this morning, and he would do anything within his power to discourage you, to get you to a point and to a place where you have lost your desire in serving Jesus Christ, lost your desire in coming faithfully to the house of God, lost your desire to reading the Word of God, lost your desire to doing that which is the will of God in your prepared life. And so in doing that, we have to understand what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The truth is that which can help us. The truth is that which we can put on that will guard us. Somebody said this, that you ought to have a very open mind. But can I tell you, if your mind is too open, it's not going to contain your brain. So you've got to be careful that you guard your mind. You have to be careful that you guard your soul. You have to be careful that you walk in that which is a circumspectly way around that which is the decision-making process of you yourself. Now, how is it that the Word of God can help us to be able to be strong? He said this, as I reemphasize it now for the fourth time. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So what is it that the truth would do to be able to help us? We remember when our Lord Jesus was tempted by that which was the devil. In other words, the devil came and tried to tempt him. Of course, he was not succumbed to that temptation, but he did say this. He said, as it is written. You remember that? So every time the devil came to him, he said, as it is written. Can I tell you this morning, dear beloved friend, that you have a Bible, and that Bible is the source, that Bible is the sword, that Bible is the tool whereby you can overcome the fiery darts of the wicked. The truth shall prevail. The Word of God shall prevail. The Bible says that His Word shall not return void. So the Word of God always accomplishes. By the way, you cannot overcome your flesh by your flesh. You cannot overcome the wicked one by your flesh. The Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. So if you're relying in the flesh, you're saying, I'm going to become a spiritual person in the flesh. You're saying, I'm going to be able to overcome all the fiery darts of the wicked one in the flesh. You're saying, it within myself, within my positive thinking sphere, I am so powerful within myself that I can overcome that one that God named as the devil over and over descriptively, as I read a moment ago in your Bible. When you think that you're so powerful that you'll be able to overcome him all by yourself, may I tell you, dear friend, you are destined for failure. The only way that we can overcome him, the Bible teaches in the book of Revelation, is by the blood of the Lamb. And the only way we can understand the significance of that which is the blood of the Lamb is through that which is the powerful teaching of the Word of God. So how is it that that Word of God will help us to be able to overcome the wicked one? Let me give you some statements. Statement number one, by cleansing. You know your Bible is a cleansing agency. Here's what the Bible teaches over in Psalm 19 and verse 14. The Bible says, and let the words of my mouth, Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so the Word of God is that which gives a cleansing. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith thee. It says, but his heart is not with thee. And so those that do the right type of things outwardly, you see them eating just like anybody else, drinking just like anybody else, but the Bible says that God is the one that knows the heart. And he says the heart is not with them. Psalm 119 in verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There's the question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How is it that I can become right with God? What is it that I can do to be able to escape that which is prevalent sinful nature that I have? Here's what he says. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. So the Word of God is that which is the pillar and the ground of truth whereby we establish our goings. The Word of God, the Bible says, is a light unto our path. The Word of God, if you would please, is that which is directing us in the right direction in which we're supposed to go. I cannot see which way to go except through the Word of God. I may trust myself. I may trust my friends. But God says that He has a Bible, and that Bible we are supposed to trust every single step of the way. Amen. The Word of God is much like a flashlight. I don't know if you've ever done this, and some of you, just like I have a flashlight that's on my phone. I can take that flashlight that's on my phone, and it's just a little one, but I can take that flashlight, and when I get up at night, I can use that flashlight to be able to maneuver throughout the house. Just a little flashlight, just a little bit of a light, but that little bit of light is significant enough and powerful enough to help me not to stub my toe. To help me to be able to maneuver from one place to another place inside of the confines of my house in pitch darkness. Just a little bit of light. Now, can I tell you that that little bit of light is the same way when it comes to the Word of God? You can take that Word of God in, and as you take that Word of God in, it becomes a light onto your path. No wonder we stumble and no wonder we fall when we try to be able to make a headway in finding our own way. I've never found a man in all my life that has tried truly to find his own way that finds complete satisfaction in the way that he thinks is right apart from a living Savior. May I say this morning that that Word of God cleanses us. Cleanses us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You cannot have the cleansing agency of that which is the Word of God apart from that which is the Word of God. You cannot cleanse yourself. Your friends can forgive you, but they cannot cleanse you. You can go to a preacher and confess your sin, or a priest, or a rabbi, and they can give you certain things in order to do whereby you receive a good feeling, but they cannot cleanse you. Only that which is the Word of God can reach down into that which is the fullness of the soul and be able to make you whole again. Statement number one, there's the cleansing. That's why we need the truth. That's why we need that which is the Word of God to help us as we try to be able to overcome and understand the dangers of the wicked one. There has to be cleansing. That Word of God is important. Statement number two, then there has to be cultivation. Cultivation. Now, what do I mean? I mean this. I mean that once that Word of God cleanses you, now it's like you got a new plot of land. It's like somebody allows you to use a new plot of land. I remember coming up on that 280-acre farm that my grandparents owned. And I remember them saying, we need more acreage. We already have planted 280 acres of whatever we could plant. I mean, you know, we need more land. You know what they would do? They would lease out other farmers' property. At one time, they leased almost 1,000 acres so that they could plant. They would lease it out. Then they would hire planters to come in to be able to plant and harvesters to come in to be able to harvest. And did you know in your life exactly that is true? First, sometimes there has to be the cleansing. Before you build a house, if it's in a foresty area, you have to knock down the trees, or you have to cut down the trees, you have to take up the trees. There has to be a cleansing. Before you drink out of a cup, you want to make sure that it's cleansed. Before you eat out of a plate, have you ever done this to go out to eat? I have. I've gone to one of these places where they have these long bars of food. And boy, I've gone there and I picked up a plate and I looked at it and said, uh-uh. That one's dirty. I put it aside. Have you ever gone to a restaurant that is even a refined restaurant? And they bring you, of course, your silverware, and it's wrapped in that which is a white type of napkin, and you open it up, and the napkin looks so good on the outside, and you open it up only to find there's food on the fork on the inside. And what do? You give it back, you raise your hand, you tap, you blow the whistle, you know, you stand up and wave. Now, you don't do any of that, but you get them to come back. And you say, you know, this is dirty. I really don't want to use that. I prefer not to. And then you give that back to them so that they can cleanse it. Well, did you know it's the same way with us? The Bible says that in the last day there will be those that have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So in the last days, there are those that come to church formatively, if you will. They have the form of godliness. They got their 10-pound Bible. They got their big old cheesy Baptist grin. They walk in. They've got all the words right. They're shaking hands with all the brothers and sisters they come across. And they have the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says that that's going to be prevalent in the last days. So what do we need? Here's what we need. We need old-fashioned cleansing. We need a time when people come to church and they don't play church. We need a time when people come to church and God is real. We need a time when people come to church and you open your Bible, not like you open a math book, and not like you open a science book, and not like you open a social studies book, but you open the Bible as the Bible is that which is the truth of the living God. And you open that Bible and you let God be able to begin to minister to your heart. Yea, to be able to convict your heart. Yea, to be able to convince you of that which is the truth of the living God. What are you doing? You're presenting yourself completely cleansed so that God can begin to chop you up and to cultivate your soil and to get it ready for old-fashioned planting. Now here's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, if you're still there, I'd like for you to look at it. The Bible says that ye put off, it says, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, the Bible says, and be renewed, it says, in the spirit of your, what? In the spirit of your, talk to me, in the spirit of your mind. He said this. He said that we're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, how do you renew your mind? We have all these things that tries to corrupt us. We have all these things that come in and they try to overtake us. How do you keep a clean mind? We're living in 2014. We're not living in 1714. We have more things that, as believers, that try to get control of our mind today than ever before. So how is it that you get this cultivation to take place? How is it that you begin to break up and get ready for planting? What is it that you're supposed to do? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. So there is a conforming. Can I tell you, here's what I've noticed. I've been preaching for over 30 years. Here's what I'm noticing. That as the church becomes more worldly, wicked, as the world, if you would please, becomes more worldly and wicked, the church follows just a little bit far off. Most churches that you go to today, you don't have the old-fashioned hymns. You got something that reminds you of a bar room. Now, I'm not being mean, I am being honest. Churches have become more worldly in order to try to draw a crowd. Now, I just want to be helpful. I'm not trying to be hurtful. I'm just trying to help. But here's what I do understand. I did see here in our Bible that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. Talk to me. By taking heed according to thy word. He didn't say according to thy program. He said thy word. Until America, I believe this with all my heart, dear gentlemen, until America gets right with God, until America comes back and says, God, it's you. Until America decides, we're not going to play politics no more. And we're not going to play games no more. And we're not going to play religion no more. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to come to church, let God be God, and every man a liar. And you come to church, and you pick up your Bible, and you let God speak to you, and God can have control. But until we get to that point, there's no cultivation. You know, there's no cleansing. We're not chopping up the ground. Now, wait a minute, watch this. So there's got to be cleansing. Whenever you do planting, and I'm speaking comparatively to the farming life, but so much to sow when it comes to our individual lives. First, you got to cleanse. Then you got to cultivate. Then you have to capture that seed. That ground has to capture that seed. Listen to your Bible. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, he said, and bringeth into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. Now, what am I supposed to do? When I come to church, I'm supposed to look for a truth that I can capture and make mine. What is it that you can capture this morning in the morning message? What is it that you can capture and make yours? That's what God says. Now, we're not talking about capturing music. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to that word? We're talking about that word. What is it in the Word of God this morning that you can capture? Somebody says, well, I don't see anything that I can capture. Sometimes you have to dig for gold, but if you dig and you have the intent of finding, if there is a gold mine, you will certainly walk away with wealth. May I tell you, the Word of God is full of that which is wealth. When you come to church, and if you listen, and if you get in your Bible, here's what we understand, somebody says, well, God can, and yes, He can, and God controls, and yes, He does, and God loves, and yes, He does, and God cares, and yes, He does. But when the devil comes down your path, and when the devil says he's not able, stand up, be a strong Christian, call him a liar, take your stand. He does care. He does love. He does want to help. He is God. Now, I'm saying this morning that there's got to be that cleansing. And so many times we say, well, I came to church and you know, I tell you what, I just had so many things going through my mind. Well, then you wonder how come God can't cultivate and how come you can't capture. You know, because you've got to set some... Isn't it right, oh dear friend, please stay with me. Isn't it right that our Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and died on the cross for our sin, for ourselves, isn't it right, doesn't it seem fair that he could at least expect us to love him a little? Doesn't it seem right? Doesn't it seem fair that maybe when the Word of God is preached that we ought to come with the excited about it? I tell you what, when I got saved back in 1979, as an 18-year-old boy, I never got over it. I never got over it. I didn't look for excuses not to come to church. I looked for reasons to come to church. I didn't look for ways to get out of giving the gospel to somebody. I looked for as many ways as I could to give the gospel, because to me it was real. Amen. To me, I understood the difference between heaven and hell. I understood the difference between a person not receiving Jesus Christ and a person receiving Jesus Christ. I understood it. I understood that if a person dies without Christ as their Savior, they're going to die and they're going to burn in a devil's hell. And I did not want that. And so every time I came to church, I was looking for something. Amen. Looking for something. Give me something. Help me with something. And I was excited about getting that which was the Word of God. I'm saying there has to be cleansing. Then we have to cultivate. Then there's the capturing. Now watch this. Then you got to concentrate. Concentrate. Where does that seed really belong? What type of soil can you put that seed in so that you get the biggest bang for your buck? You concentrate. You begin to meditate on that which is the Word of God. Listen to it. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, think on these things. You ever do this? I've done this many times with preaching. When especially when her kids were smaller. Now, of course, they're all young adults now, but when her kids were smaller, we'd hear preaching. I'd cultivate a little bit. And I'd get ready to help them to capture a truth. But the way that I cultivated and the way that I helped them to capture a truth was to help them to think, to concentrate. You ever do this? You ever do this with your little ones? Hey, what did you get out of that message? How did God speak to your heart? You know what you're doing? You're helping them to concentrate. You know what I find out in our society today? I find out that a lot of people have a hard time with concentrating. They have a hard time with their attention span. It's not very long. You know, and almost the pastors of our churches today have to perform aerobics in order to keep their attention. Today you find pastors running back and forth. They're getting their bodily exercise. They're jumping up and down. They're hollering. They're shaking their fists. They're blessing the first three rows with their spittle. Now, why are they doing that? Oh, they're doing that because they enjoy it. Now, I think they're doing that to try to help people capture a truth. Because we live in such a fast-moving society. You ever notice this? Nobody gets on the slow rides at Six Flags, just the little kids. You ever go and you see where the lines really are? Where's the lines? They're in the fast pace. Fast-moving rides. And it's funny because you see people get, are you excited about riding this ride? No. I'm scared to death. I hope I make it. Then you get on the ride. Hair is like this. Face looks like it's been in some type of shocking experience. The flesh is sealed back this way. Saliva has come back and you can see. And they get off and, how'd you do? And they said, oh, that was so good. I'm going to do it again. Come on. Nobody likes the old movies of yesteryear where people are sitting around and talking and you're rearing your kids right. And oh, no. They want to see somebody captured, killed. You know, if it doesn't have a car race in it, if it doesn't have gunshots, if it doesn't have somebody running down the street chasing somebody else, you put the average kid in front of some of the old-fashioned television shows that did teach a little bit of character, wow. They get bored out of their seat. You look over there at them, and what we used to sit and, you know, we used to watch those old television shows. We just couldn't wait. Wow, wow. You look at the kid that watched the old day shows, and they're over there. I mean, it's there. It's there. Now, I'm saying, so what we have to do is we have to realize there's got to be cleansing. I'm talking about how to overcome that which is the wicked one. How to prepare your mind against the attacks of the devil. What do? You go and you use that word of God and let that word of God provide the cleansing. You can't do it by yourself. It doesn't matter what your educational background is. It doesn't matter what your status in society is. It doesn't matter how well you've graded yourself in the intellectual world of our society. It does not matter how good you think you are. You cannot make it against that which is the attacks of the devil and the darts of the wicked one by yourself. You need the old-fashioned power of the Word of God that provides cleansing. You get that cleansing and all of a sudden now it's ready for cultivation. It's ready. You got everything moved out of the way. Now, you don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher preaches. Because you don't have things that's in the way that he's hitting that makes you mad. Now he's able to cultivate. When cultivation comes, all of a sudden what a blessing it is to see that seed put in the right place and it's captured. when it's captured and the dirt is filled in, and all of a sudden now you can concentrate and you can go watch it and see if it grows. You can go watch it, see if there's any productivity. You can watch it and concentrate to make sure that it gets the right amount of water and the right amount of fertilizer according to that which is the soil's need that's helping that seed in order to be able to grow. Then lastly, here it is. Then there's the continuation. Because you see, the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. My daddy worked at Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. I was raised in Maryland. And my daddy worked at Maryland National Bank in Baltimore City. Never will forget the first time he ever brought home pizza. It looked sick. I'm not trying to be mean, but it looked like somebody had an upset stomach and the bread was this force of landing. And my dad said, Michael, you're going to love this. And I said, Dad, are you sure? He said, Michael. Now, we never had it. I think I was about, 10 or 11 or 12, and we never had pizza before. And he said, Dad, he said, Michael, you're going to really love this. And I said, Dad, it doesn't look lovable. Where'd you get this? What's it called? He said, it's called pizza. He said, bought it down in Baltimore and brought it home. You're going to love this. And I said, Dad, I don't know. It doesn't look too good. He said, look, let me take a bite first. He said, and he did that thing that all dad, you know, how you used to train your kids to eat baby food? Come on, take it, take it. Take it, take it. Take. And then you said, watch daddy. You know, then they'd take it. My dad did that with a pizza. Take it, son, take it. I said, oh, dad. He said, it's so good. And I said, okay. So he gave me a piece, and boy, could I tell you what? It was so good. Yeah. One of my favorite foods to this day is pizza. Yeah, our college kids went over to help Dr. Nash as he became a pastor in Maryland just this past Wednesday night. It was his first Wednesday night in preaching there at the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Mechanicsville, Maryland. And we love Dr. Nash. He was on our staff for some time and teaching in our Bible college and great theologian, good guy. And so we took our college kids over, both men and ladies, and I guess there was a total of about 35 or so that was there that day, including some other people. And I wasn't able to go. I had some things that came up, and I wasn't able to go over to help as much as what I wanted to. And so I was on the way over, and I said, look, the least I can do is maybe order some pizza and bring it over. And you know, I find myself doing that more than not when I order for other people. Hey, let's just get some pizza. Now, there's a reason for that. I'm driving to Dr. Nash's house. I got 15 boxes of pizza riding behind me. Can I tell you that's dangerous? I didn't even make it halfway there. That pizza kept talking to me. Said, I'm yours. Eat me. I couldn't help it. My hand started to drift back there behind that passenger seat. That lid went up. I grabbed that greasy, deliciously looking pizza. I'm bringing it up, and man, the oil is dripping down. I did not care. I got that pizza, Brother Palmore, and I ate 4 pieces on the way. Driving this way, eating this way, and loving God this way. Can I tell you, it was a wonderful experience having fellowship with Jesus Christ and my pizza. Now, here's what we understand. When you capture that truth and you begin to taste of the Lord and see that He is good. I feel for our churches, I preached, if you have not listened to this message yet, I hope you do. On, I fear, churches that are not preaching the truth. I think in our society, we're living in the last day where the Bible says that men shall heap to themselves itching ears. Where they come to church and if they're not entertained, they leave and they say, I'm not going to go back. When my Bible tells me that the preaching of the Word of God is what cleanses us, you want a good marriage? You need preaching. You want a good relationship? You need preaching. You want to be able to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? You need old-fashioned, not watered down, but straightforward preaching. Can I tell you, it cleanses, it cultivates, it captures, helps you to concentrate. And one last word I gave you, and that was this, but I want to give you the verse that goes with it. There's that continuation. Because once you get it, you like it. You ever do that? You ever see somebody? Watch this. You ever see somebody? You ready? You ever see somebody used to go to church faithful when they got out? And then they got back in, and after they got back in, here's their testimony. Sure have missed it. It's good to be back. Feels like home. Man, I'm so glad I'm here. You know why? Because once you taste of God's goodness, even if you go without it for a long time, can I tell you, he's the best gourmet cook you'll ever have in your life? When it comes to the Word of God, and once you taste it again, it's like, I am so glad I got it. Now watch this, and I'm done. Here it is. Continuing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 14, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, just continue. Just continue. He said, preacher, why is it that some people don't continue? Well, I'm telling you, we live in a world where everything today, and I'm just being honest, because I grew up in such a society as you. We live in a world today where everything is grabbing for the attention. Everything is grabbing for the time. And if the devil can get you tripped up so you don't get the truth, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make or set you free. The devil knows that. So he don't want you, he wants to trip you up. He wants you not to get into the Word of God, whereby the Word of God can set you free. He knows that. So he'll do everything to hinder you from coming to church. He'll do everything he can do to hinder you from getting out the truth to somebody else. He'll do everything he can to hinder you from not having the Bible in your married life. You know, one of the things we do every year that I so enjoy, and Brother Butler, I appreciate you beyond words, is we have a couples retreat. How many couples this year? 29 couples went from our church this week, and man, we rented a boat, and we did all sorts of stuff, and boy, we were able to come together, and as couples, man, can I tell you, we had a super time. All right, but wait a minute, but in those times, Brother Butler has structured times of teaching, and some for the ladies and some for the men, and then collectively together, and then we do activities together, and of course we spend the night in a hotel, and what a wonderful experience it is. Now, can I tell you, though, what was helping those marriages was not the putt-putt golf, or was not riding on a boat, or what was helping those marriages as we came together, as we opened up the Word of God, that's the answer to all problems, that solves all difficulties, and we opened up that Bible, and as we opened up that Bible, God began to work in lives. That's what changed some marriages. But can I tell you, the devil don't want you to hear that. If he can trip you up where you think that you got all the answers yourself, buddy, I'll tell you for sure, he's got you. Because only the Word of God can change your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.